consciousness helps during the earth walk to gradually remember that all is the one mind. We can also call it, it is a big part of the spiritual path, that as we know, the spiritual path will be given up the moment I am aware about the one mind. A human being has to awaken to the understanding that with creating this story around oneself, I am this and I am that, from there and from this, I create around myself a virtual reality, an animated reality, a simulation.
Welcome to the Voices of the One Mind, where the elixir of wisdom flows freely. Join us as we dive into the profound thoughts of extraordinary human beings who embody wisdom, offering insights that serve as a bridge to awakening. Unshackling minds from the chains of suffering, our conversations pave the way for enhanced health, enriched lives, and exponential spiritual growth. Get ready to sip on the nectar of the One Mind with us.
Hi, Bear. Thank you for accepting our invitation again.
Absolutely welcome.
I was observing for years now the chaos that we are going through in the world. We are see a lot of people around me following gurus, coming up with a lot of concepts. And generally, we have a lot of perspectives. Everybody has different perspective about this universe and what is going on around. And we are also attaching to these concepts, definitions, models that are around us. And I was pondering about the state of no mind. What is the state of no mind? Can we achieve that? Or maybe just start from thinking, what is mind? And I invited you today to elaborate a bit about the topic. And maybe you can help me uncover a bit what is the mind.
Well, that's a very good question. What is the mind? So we have to define before what is the mind in the common language as we understand language. So you're out of your mind, for example, you know. So what does that mean? In common language, mind is that place, that center, from where the human defines his actions. We could also say it's in the common language part of the understanding is it's the brain. It's part of the brain, right? And it's the spirit of the brain, right? Because the brain is the physical part of the body, and the actions that the brain is commanding are placed by the mind. And I have to repeat, this is in common language. And I don't like to use that term mind in general at all, referred to exactly that, what I just explained. because this actually is perceptual thinking or the perceptual thought. That is what the, in language, human mind is doing. What is mind in general? Mind is the center of consciousness, and consciousness and the mind is something that beings make them conscious about their own existence. Okay? So we are talking about sentient beings. A sentient being is a being that is aware about its own existence. And that is the mind. Now, different philosophies talk about the human mind and the higher mind. And for me, there is no differentiation in that. Absolutely not. It's all one and the same. And hence, I don't like the word mind in any connection to perceptual thinking, the human brain. We have to see that what we call the one mind is the absolute reality of all existence. And since everything that there is part of this all existence, there cannot be a division of that, because otherwise you are separated of it. And as long as we have that thought that there is something like a human mind, and then there is something like a higher mind, we are separating ourselves, we are living in the illusion of separation, we are living in duality, which is, let's say, everything is perfect, but you were talking about the chaos, which is the misery of the human earthwork and humanity in general, is this illusion of separation. I have my own mind, and hence I can take decisions. And through this idea of that I have an own mind, I start to create a persona. I start to create a story around the existence of a body, of this body. And from that lens, from that perspective, I start to see, let's say, the entire universe, and in the entire universe I start to see the people that surround me, I start to see the world that physically surrounds me. And from that perceptual thought, I start to identify things, to judge things, and then the chit-chat starts. That is this perceptual thinking. Perceptual thinking, what does it mean? Thinking of what I perceive. See? And that means, what is the opposition of, or what is the opposite side of thinking of what I perceive? That is what various philosophies and teachings call the state of no mind. And I don't actually like this way of expression, because I would not call it the state of no mind, but the state of the one mind. And now, I said in the beginning, a sentient being is aware about its own existence. When a sentient being is aware about the one mind, it is with no mind. Because there is no identification with anything. And hence, from that perspective, from that lens, I can perceive through the perspective of the human of the human being, I start to perceive the entire universe. I start to perceive everything that surrounds me as neutral, and hence I'm staying in pure awareness. And the state of pure awareness is that state practically when I have given up the idea of consciousness. Because I cannot have consciousness anymore once I dwell in the awareness of the one mind. Because a consciousness is always something that is a concept of duality. You see? Is something is conscious about something, but who is conscious about that thing? If I perceive that I am not this thing, I can be conscious about this thing. And consciousness helps. Consciousness is a very, very, very powerful tool, because consciousness helps during the earth walk to gradually remember that all is the one mind. We can also call it, it is a big part of the spiritual path, that as we know, the spiritual path will be given up the moment I am aware about the one mind. The moment I'm aware about the one mind as all existence, as the absolute reality, in that very moment, there is no consciousness anymore. And in that very moment, the being is in absolute awareness or in pure awareness. That means practically seeing the entireness of all without any notion of judgment, identification, story, I like this, I don't like that, this is good, this is bad. Everything is just observed, let's put it that way, through the human vessel, because the human vessel is something to observe with the eyes, with the nose, with the ears, with the skin. These are senses that observe. And the moment I can do as the human vessel these observations without giving any notion to this observation, I dwell in the state of absolute awareness. And so the chaos that you were talking about in the beginning comes from the perceptual thinking. That is the mother of the chaos. That is the mother of the chaos. Because what happens? I perceive things. The perceptual thought is trained to believe in time, space, reality. So meaning time, space, reality, past. I'm not talking about the future, but mostly the past. Nobody is staying in the present moment, mostly in the past, and then this past is reflected into the future. So it's a little bit how I see it. I don't know. Let's say you have a long stick here and there is hanging something that you want, but the stick is, you know, applied to your head or something, and you are constantly yourself walking that stick ahead, and you just try to grab it, but you cannot grab it because it's yourself who is moving there. And so that is what's happened when people dwell with their consciousness in the past, and then take this past and put it to the future, and what they are trying to grab is the present moment that they can never grab, but because experience that they have lived in the past are projected to the future. And obviously, as human beings are creator beings and able to manifest, we had another conversation about manifesting, manipulating also reality. contrary to living life. When we project that, we are never in the present moment, and so we are never in that state from where this human vessel can stay in this pure awareness, because we are constantly living in a story. We are constantly, you know, me is, I am this and I am that, and I'm coming from there, and this has happened to me, and so this is brought into the future, and this is a fear-based life. I don't even want to use the word life. It's a fear-based survival mode, a fear-based mode of vegetation, actually, because life is something unfolding, blooming. Life is, let's say, life is like a flower that is so immensely beautiful. And if one understands to water that flower, to be benevolent with that flower will bloom for you and will unfold for you its beauty. And that is what life is. If contrary, you are in a survival mode, you are not able to understand that life is a flower, what do? You have a little plant that is not yet the flower, and you don't water the flower, or you are malevolent to the flower. Your expression is malevolent. Your actions in life are malevolent. And to come to this understanding that life is this beautiful flower that needs to be watered and that needs to be treated with love, with the KDIUCL, the cosmic, divine, infinite, unconditional, compassionate love, there is literally nothing that this flower will hide from the observer. And who is the observer? The observer is the one mind. And the one mind is expressing itself through that flower that I call life on an earth walk.
Very beautiful. So, how can we cultivate this state and the one mind?
Well, how can we cultivate this state? Everything starts with the identification. Everything starts with the identification. And for the human perceptual thought, it is quite difficult if you are 30, 40, 50 years old and your entire life, your parents, your entire surroundings have seen you as something separated and have approached you as Sophia, all of a sudden to understand that they have seen you as something separated, and that's why they needed to name you. That's why they needed to identify you with where you're coming from and from what family and so on and so on. How can we approach life in a different way? I have shared in another episode where we are talking about fear. Why most of the people are not able to see, to have this flower blooming, the flower of life, and I don't mean any kind of symbology of a flower of life. I mean a flower literally as the expression of beauty and the life expressing as that flower. However, there is definitely no coincidence that there is a depiction of the flower of life, and I don't mean that what in the New Age scene is depicted as the flower of life, because truly this is not the flower of life. It's a very big deception, by the way. So just for the people out there to know that what you classically know as the flower of life truly is the flower of death, and you should not surround yourself, let alone put water cups on it or stick it everywhere or tattoo it on your body. There is a flower of life. If you search, you will find it, the true flower of life. So why people are not able, because people are stuck in a fear survival mode. Why people are stuck in a fear survival mode? Because their vibrational field is dwelling in a low vibrational, in a lower vibrational, or in a vibrational field that is, I don't want to even say low or higher vibrational field, but in a vibrational field where fear is the most common energy. And so if you stay in the state of fear, what will you attract? You will attract fear around you. You will attract things that align with the frequency of fear. It's very simple. It has been measured. There have been done intensive tests of scientists and people like Masaru Emoto with water, where you give there is a certain frequency, obviously a certain frequency pattern to a sensation like fear, for example, right? And this frequency pattern, for example, of fear matches the frequency pattern of, for example, violence or destruction, whatever. Why we know from the animal world, from nature, shows us such a big, beautiful example. When a person is fearful, what do, for example, predators or dogs do? They are likely to attack you. Bears, for example, they are likely to attack you if they feel your fear. So what, I mean, people in the normal understanding explain, well, this is the predator and you are weak and that's why it's attacking. However, we have to understand that it's about the frequency patterns that the vessel of the bear or the dog receives from that other being, and then they match, and on that match they are meeting. So the way out is to raise the frequency. And when people talk about the various dimensions that we are living in nowadays, very popular topic, humanity is raising up to the fifth dimension. We have to understand to live in various dimensions has nothing to do with the walk of the physical body on the 3D, because this needs to be like this, because this is the one mind, the absolute reality, experiencing different densities. However, one must not need to identify with some ego me I consciousness construct that is connected to this body. Because then I fall into the trap to match the frequency of what that body on the 3D on the earth walk is surrounding itself. And then I'm trapped exactly in this when many people say in life, for example, why is all this misery happening to me? I don't have any money and I'm constantly broke and the landlord is throwing me out and I walk on the street and somebody robs my purse and these kind of things or just misfortunes. What are misfortunes? There is no such a thing like a misfortune, right? It's aligning with the frequency of this. And who is the sender that sends out to that other that you feel separated from? It's you. The sender is you. You are sending out this frequency, and hence my example from before with the fearful person meeting the dog in the park.
I just wanted to validate it because it appears to me a scene from a movie with Native Americans where they were in the forest, right? And at some point, a lot of wolves appear, right, in the scene. And there was this woman that runs towards them and start to scream, you know, mm-hmm. and suddenly they left. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there were many of them, like they attacking. Yeah, so this truly validates that she was maybe not very conscious about her acts, but she acted not with fear. She didn't approach the scene, the situation with fear, because she was used with the surroundings, right? She knew about the existence of these mm-hmm. beings around there, and it's just a scene that appears to me, but very true, right?
Absolutely. And when you say this, there is different approaches, and we can, you know, I just come back from the United States in Montana, and you know, Montana is a country of bears, and I have met bears, and I would, for example, not run to scream to a bear, right? Or I have not done it. It's not I would not, I have not done it. However, I decide to stay calm, but in my full power. In my full power. There is nothing that is shaking or fearing or whatever. And the bear, and then you can literally, you can even stay in like in a, you can call it meditative state, but that's what I do. I go down and I stay there and I start to connect and start to communicate with the bear, but out from my full power, you know? And the bear has no reason whatever to attack you. So it's always about the sender, and again we are back at the fearful state. And where does the fearful state come from? Because your perceptual thinking has been filled so full with stories that all of these stories you are now living. Because again, humans are creator beings, and humans are able to envision something. And from that vision, human beings are able to manifest something and eventually to materialize the things. And as I say in so many talks, we must not think that there is only positive affirmations. There are the so-called negative affirmations that are silently, meaning that chit-chat that happens in the perceptual thought constantly. The stories that I'm making up, they are nothing else than affirmations. And these affirmations, they lead, or they can lead, and in many ways they are, leading from a perceptual thinking, worrying, over to a manifestation, which in many people happens with cancer and other things. These are nothing else than manifestations of worrying. And eventually, it's the materialization of it, meaning the cancer breaks out, or a lot of misery is happening throughout my life, and constantly the question comes, yeah, but I'm why you know, why do I have so much misery in life? I'm a good being. I'm not doing anything to anyone.
Because you are constantly repeating this negative, and you are. That's why I was pondering about this state that some, as you said, philosopher calls the no mind, like meaning no thoughts, no concepts, not attaching to things. And maybe I will get back to this attaching to a lot of concepts and definitions. How would it be, and what one would manifest if there is no thought? No, not that. So now I want to make a distinction. There is nothing wrong in having a lot of perspective. The challenge here is like, why do we attach to those definitions, models, concepts?
When I was 5 years old, 6 years old, I told my mother all the time, Mom, what the people are doing here, this is wrong. We are not here for working. We are not here to create stuff. We are not here to create things. And I mean it to this very day. And I mean it ever stronger than I have ever meant it before. nonetheless, this being has also been falling into the trap of becoming an entrepreneur, having employees, having a company, and going for that. Fortunately, I have remembered that in a more wise age, let's say, and came to that what the five-year-old me already said. The human being, and this is the biggest issue that humans cannot wrap their head around, because humans think that they are here to be visionaries, to create and to expand constantly, and to have a better life by constantly expanding in their work life and inventing new things. And humanity is therefore gradually growing. This is the biggest misconception, the biggest illusion that humanity is following. Because not for no reason, in the Eastern philosophy, we are talking about that we are in the darkest age now, or on the verge out of the darkest age. So the normal perceptual thought might think, how can we be in the darkest age now? We have all these amazing inventions. We have electric cars. We have cellular phones, computers. We can do telephone calls over continents, and so on, and so on.
Unfortunately, they are not used in the right way.
That is another topic by itself. However, I want to start much earlier. This is all good, because it's as the Mongolians always say, everything is happening under the big blue sky. So there is no good or bad. I'm always just saying, if there is a direct way to walk somewhere and then enjoy the beauty of that place, if I would be aware about it, why would I first go through the mud and make myself completely dirty? If I'm aware about it. So people can say yes, because the way is needed. Yes, for many people the way is needed. However, there is a direct path. We don't need to do the detour. There is a direct path. And humans, and I will repeat again what I said as a child to my mother, are not on this planet to work. Humans are not on this planet to create things. Humans are not on this planet to create iPhones, to sit in a car, to do... This is not the nature of the human being. The human being's nature is a nature that is completely immersed into the nature. I'm talking about plants, elements around, completely, in absolutely fine tune with that. And from that perspective, being aware without no notion, and seeing with a massive, huge lens the entire universe. And through that doing of the human being, the lens has become so small and so narrow that the regular human, the normal human being, does not see anything of the universe other than the immediate reality, the work, the house, the family, the village, the country they live in. And that's it. But the flower, this beautiful unfolding of life, the entirety of the universe, is not be able, cannot be seen. And to come out of that state, one very important thing is, we, as humanity, need to step back to a more simple life. Because one of the ways that keeps the human beings and humanity into that trap, into that trap of I need to work, I need to earn money, is because we also always consume things. Of course, there is a group of beings on the planet who try to keep humans in that slavery state, who try to keep humans cut off resources. I cut you off the healthy water and then I sell you water. I cut you off free energy and then I sell you electricity. And so on and so on. However, again, what is the importance to know here? And this is very important. My message is not going into that state of, ooh, there is a bad group that wants to suppress humanity. No, absolutely not. The bad group is nothing else than a reflection of within. Again, the aligning of the frequency. If I live in a fearful state, if I live in that state, I will only match to that. And Earth, as humanity, as a human family, unfortunately, in this state of time, or fortunately, or whatever, in this state of time, is living in such a frequency wave of lower vibrational fields, very primitive fields. You can see it, wars, and that has been going on for the last few thousand years, wars and so on. However, humanity was going through times where there was not one killing on this planet, where people were thriving in the being, nourishing themselves purely from what Mother Earth gave to the human body. And that's far beyond food, let alone the food that people are eating today that is literally not food.
Just to summarize for our audience, so in order to cultivate the one mind and to come closer to this, first step is to live more simple, or to simplify the way that we consume, the way that correct. The second one will be to not identify anymore with the eye consciousness, and not to narrow the lens and focus only on I and what I'm doing, actions that concerns only the person, the vessel. Correct?
Yes, correct. Let me put it that way. How to become aware about the one mind, the absolute reality that I am. That has to do, I said in the beginning, sentient being. Now, many people might not agree with me on that. That is okay. The sentient being is a being that is conscious about its existence, is aware about its existence. A sentient being is a being that is aware about its existence. And I want to say that most of the human beings on Earth today are not sentient beings. Are not sentient beings. A sentient being is aware about its own existence. Its own existence is nothing else than the existence of the absolute reality of the one mind. I am not aware that I am the one mind, hence I'm not aware about my existence. Hence, I'm not a sentient being. And again, there will be many people that will not agree with me on that. For me, sentient means to be aware about the absolute reality and not just being aware that I have five senses and there is a human body. That for me is not a sentient being. And hence, to come to that awareness, a human being has to awaken to the understanding that with creating this story around oneself, I am this and I am that, from there and from this, I create around myself a virtual reality, an animated reality, a simulation. Now, there are people out there who understand that they are living, that this is a simulation. However, they lack to understand that the simulation is not created by someone who is there, some extraterrestrials, some malevolent group of beings that is on computers and creating. Because everything that surrounds you, that hassle that humans are running from the morning to the evening, is not created in a computer simulation. That is acted out through human beings. Hence the conclusion that it is the human being that is creating this simulation is a very fundamental understanding to do. And here again, so within, so without, as below, so above. If the human being is trapped in a me and I consciousness, automatically you are trapped in the third dimension, and everything around in the third dimension aligns with you. Hence, you are creating that video game of the third dimension. You raise yourself in consciousness. You raise your vibrational field to a higher consciousness. You dwell in the fourth and the fifth dimension. What happens automatically?
You attract situations, you align with things that match that frequency, that
absolutely
vibration.
Absolutely, exactly. Meaning, when people say, well, I am here now, and all you're saying sounds all very interesting, but I need to pay my rent, I need money for that, that shows very clearly that you have not understood not just the concept, but you have not understood the task and the homework and the way that you have to go, the path that you have to embark. The path that you have to embark is you raise your consciousness. By raising your consciousness, you dwell in other dimensions. It doesn't matter whether you call them dimensions. You dwell in other worlds, let's put it that way. And in these worlds, this reality of somebody running behind you, wanting your monthly rent, otherwise they throw you out, or the bank is calling you because you have a shortcoming on your loan payment or whatever, will not exist anymore in the reality of your blooming life. That is the thing that people need to really to understand. Because humans are making this mistake that they think, well, okay, it sounds all good to go on a spiritual path, to do all this, to raise the vibration, but in the here and now, I need to pay the food for my kids. And they don't understand that they, with this saying, they just underlined, confirmed, that they want to stay in that here and now. And so that here and now is their reality.
Very beautiful that you speak about here and now, because I was almost on the point to ask you, what are your pointers to live more in the present, in the here and now?
Well, what are the pointers in the here and now? I mean, I always try to explain things with examples of nature and things very simply explained. So to stay more in the here and now literally is you go to nature and you observe nature. You just sit on a bench and watch with your, you perceive with your five senses what is going on around you now in the here and now. You hear a bird chirping, you see a bird flying, you see a snail, you see a fish in a pond, you see the flow of the water around the stones, and you are just there and you gaze upon it.
We are so programmed to create plans for the future, because that's this density that we lived on our daily basis, to remember events from the past that either produce sadness or any type of feeling that triggered in us, then people, of course, are not trained, let's use that word for now, to do this type of things. To, I don't want to say that they are not attracted to go to nature, but not for this purpose. I see people more doing outdoor activities also to experience, you know, pleasure generally. So how do you undo this? You just explained you go in nature and observe, and but you need to be drawn to go to nature and to do these things.
Yes, I mean, eventually there is one thing that needs always to be an initial spark. And no spiritual teacher or whoever can give somebody an initial spark. It's impossible. That initial spark comes from oneself. What a spiritual teacher can do, or a mentor, or a guide along the path for some time, can give pointers. You know, look at this, look at that. You know, observe this, and how do you feel with this, and so on. However, the initial spark, no one can put an initial spark into someone else. That's impossible. The initial spark is there, or is not there. So. I have to assume that people that listen to our conversation here are people that had their initial spark. And for these people, we can give pointers. And one of the pointers is start very simple. You don't need to do complex or complicated yoga meditations or higher advanced Kriya Yoga, which is one of the most precious practices given from an avatar to humanity. However, start very basic. Start by what you are. You are a being of nature. You are a being of the human being, the human body. You are not that being, but the body is that being. And for the first step, you go out in nature. And you observe nature and you be in the here and now. Because all the chit-chat that you have been going on is mostly related to pastime experience. Yeah? And in this pastime experience, the truth really is, it's not here in this reality now. So what you do, you reflect it to the future, and obviously you will manifest it and it will happen. But it was you. It is not that you can come afterwards and say, see, I told you. See, I told you. It happened then, and it happens now again. There is no somebody else who wants something bad for you, or there is no system that has it with you and is following you. Everything that unfolds in your life, everything is based on your perceptual thinking, and only on that. There is no such thing as the outside. The outside is an illusion. The outside is a mere reflection of the inside. And this is a thing that obviously most of the people cannot wrap around their head, because they say, what are you saying? We are living in this world. And no, we don't live in this world. We can have 10 people in one room, and each of the 10 people lives in a different world. One is a millionaire and is extremely unhappy and has a lot of wealth all around the world. The next one is a being that is financially well off and is extremely happy and is traveling the whole world. And the other person has no money at all but is extremely happy in life. And because doesn't need anything for life, and the next person in the room is having big problems because from the 5 million euros that they had on the bank account, because of the cryptocurrency went down, it's only 4.5 million anymore, and that causes sleepless nights. And then there is the next person who is worried because does not know how to pay the food for his family or for his children. That's all within one room. And that's 5 or 6 different worlds. And so it's always in what world your perceptual thought is going to dwell or live. And if you choose to live in your perceptual thought, in the world of let's say, I have to speak, obviously, because we only have language to communicate amongst each other, especially when we are doing a conversation like this that is broadcasted. When you have this reality as your reality, when you manifest this reality as your reality, because you have these worrying thoughts all the time. These worrying thoughts is what creates this reality. This is the thing that people have to wrap around their head. It's only that. It's only that. And I know personally in life a lot of people who are going, who for them decide they want to experience life the hard way. Meaning, they don't decide that consciously, but by their actions, and I don't mean necessarily physically actions, I mean these perceptual thought actions, they are creating exactly the path. And then there are others who are more conscious about these things. They are more conscious about the fact that with my perceptual thought, I can decide which way this life unfolds. This is not manipulation. Nothing to do with manipulation. They have a life of ease, or much more ease. They are much, much calmer people. You know, they don't see the world as bad. They don't dwell in this reality. And that's very simple, the choice that every human has. What do I go for? And obviously, no one should ever follow anything else. No one should ever follow a guru. No one should ever follow a religion. No one should ever follow a political movement or a political party, whatever. No one should ever follow anything. Everyone should only bring oneself into that state of quietness, meaning stopping that chit-chat of constantly questioning and worrying in the mind. And from there is no need that one needs to follow anything, and there is no need that one needs to ask any question. Because everything that you need to know in life, you know already. You know already. There is nothing that somebody else can tell you. And be aware of one thing. If you ask somebody something, that answer that comes from that other being is produced from the perceptual thought and the whole story and the whole life history of that other being. You read a book of somebody, you read many books of somebody, be aware you are reading the book that was written from a lens that has its own life story and its own life experience. And then you can say, yeah, well, but I read a book and then I read, and if it resonates with me, it's good. There is nothing in a book that needs to resonate with you. because you resonate for yourself. You have everything. Everything, all these books, everything, they are just stories. It's like a film. And I'm talking also about spiritual books. It's all a film. You don't need to read a spiritual book to become more spiritual. No, you just need to unpack all that chit-chatter in your mind that is the highest spiritual work and knowledge that you can gain and that you can do. There is nothing that, you know, that you need to read. And I don't want to go into the physical world now because I wanted to say almost, yeah, the only thing you need to read is an instruction manual of a dishwasher. But literally, there is nothing for you to read. You know everything. There is nothing. If you become or if you remember, re again, and being part of something means member. So become again the part of that in your, you are always that part. But the trouble that you have, that you are always this part here, and your ego, eye consciousness, and perceptual thought fights and says, no, I'm not this. And then you have your entire life, you have like two beings fighting with each other. And once you align yourself with that, everything is completely unfolding in front of you. Whether it is that it's taking care about your body on this earth walk, whether it is all the knowing that you can access, all the universal knowing that you immediately can access every second when you need to know something. Is it good to take this mineral water? Or is it good to take this bread? Is it good to take this? In an instant, these things come. There is no, you don't need to take it and read what is written on the package and the ingredients. No, you know that. Because you are operating from a channel that is directly open. I don't even use the word connected because connection opposes separation. So the channel that is open, just see that connection. So get rid of that story. That is the thing. We need to give up that story. And how to get rid of that story? There is not one instruction that you can say how you can get rid of your story. Many times in life of a human being, something happens, the death of somebody, illness that somebody gets, where all of a sudden that spark sparks up in the body, in the being. And that is the initial thing. And then people start to go slowly to search. And I want to tell everyone, don't get lost in this search. You know everything. You know everything.
Very beautiful. I think you said it all. And would you have a message for the audience for the topic of today?
Absolutely.
What is that pointer? What is your advice message, your last message from today's talk?
You don't need to go from Guru A to Guru B and do ayahuasca, please don't do. You do not need all these things. You do not need mind-altering substances to remember who you are. That's all deceptions. I want to state that very clear. These are all deceptions. This is all Maya. This is all illusion. You don't need that. You need to stop the chit-chat in your mind so that you be in a state of full awareness, and then coming back to the topic of today's conversation, the state of no mind, which I want to call the state of the one mind.
As we wrap up, take a moment to reflect. Life experiences are just part of the journey. They are not you. Expect nothing, embrace everything, and let KDIUCL be your guide. Remember, the mind will always seek its trips, but the deeper you go, the more you see through them. stay present, keep seeking, and until next time, walk your path with open eyes and an open heart.
Thank you for joining us on this enlightening journey with another voice of the One Mind. We thank you for your support, and to ensure that you never miss a drop of this wisdom nectar, click subscribe and stay connected with us on the onemind.org. Until next time, may your path be illuminated with profound insights and growth.